Father, and we study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we study the man Jesus, Father. We learn something significant, something important about your son, Father, that he was a man of prayer. And thank you, Father, that we will remember that, Father. We will always remember that, Father. And we are the Spirit of the living God to keep on teaching us, Father, to keep on instructing us about the lesson of prayer and how important, how significant prayer is. Prayer is just talking to you, Father. We see that about your son, Jesus Christ, Father. So that he is, Father, so are we, Father. Oh, yes, man. God, we even say that in a prayer, Father, as your son, Jesus is, so are we, Father. That we will learn how to pray to you, my God. We thank you for the Lord's prayer when your son, Jesus, taught the disciples how to pray. And we thank you this Holy Spirit, Father, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Standby, the Intercessor, Father, is with us even right now, Father. It's within me, my God, and teaching me daily how to pray, Father God, how to pray. And that's why, Father, we commit the meeting to you, Father God. We commit my talk to you, my God. I pray that even my tongue and every word I speak, Father, will be anointed, Father. Will be anointed, my God. Will be anointed, Father. Will be anointed, my God. The presence of Jesus Christ, Father, he'll be alive, my God. He'll be alive, Father, full of power, my God. And a double-edged word, my God, just coming up, penetrating. And I remember, Father, the Apostle Peter, Father, when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, the word says that he was pierced in the very being, Father. They were so convicted, my God. And then they shouted, how do we get saved, my God? And I pray, Father, the words I speak today, Father, there'll be a shouting, Father. There'll be a shouting there. How do we get the excitement in our beings to pray to you, Father? Just like your son, Jesus, Father. We can see that, we can perceive, Father, your son, Jesus, loved to pray. Yes, he loved to pray, Father. Morning and night, Father, we see many, many instances, my God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, many, many instances, Father, many scriptures, Father, when you rose in the morning to pray, Father, even the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, in the moment of crisis, my God, he knelt down and he prayed, Father. Jesus, we ask the same thing will happen in our spirit, Father, supernaturally, Father, such an excitement to pray, my God, such an excitement, yet, Father, like our friend, let a leader says, Father God, a desire and a discipline and delight, and we will get the delight, Father, that wherever we are, like the Apostle Paul, you say, Father, you pray in tongues continuously, Father, hallelujah, we thank you, my God, that wherever we are, Father, in whatever situation we are, my God, that we will remember, Father God, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is real, we are never, never, never alone, Jehovah Nisi is always with us, my God, our friend and our companion, my God, he will never be alone, my God, he will never be alone, Father, in Jesus Christ. Name. So I commit my talk to you and thank you, Father, it's going to be abiding and fruitful, my God. My talk, Father, will be abiding, anointed, and fruitful. Hallelujah. I believe you for that, my God. I believe you, Father. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today, folks, I've decided to talk to you how to get some excitement into your praying. And the only way I can share that is to tell you how I excite myself to pray. I hear many people, many men of God and many women of God share with us through their books and through their articles how they get into their prayer time in the mornings or whatever time they commence to pray. I heard a man of God saying that he listens to his own tape to get him stirred up. Hallelujah. What I do is I stir up myself with the word of the living God. There's something about the word of God that's so alive, brethren. There's an instrument. The word, as you know and I know, is anointed. Hallelujah. It is written by the Holy Ghost himself through the pen of man, stirred up by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And every word must come alive from the word of life, the book itself. Glory be to you, Jesus. And how I start out is I commence with a few scriptures to build up in the man in me. Take, for instance, John 14, verse 13 to 14. I think of the scripture and I proclaim it loudly. And that's how I start praying in the morning. Listen to this. John 14, verse 13 to 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, verse 13 to 14. And I keep on saying it. I keep on reflecting on that. I keep on meditating on the scripture till there's something into my being, folks. John 14, verse 13 to 14. Don't be embarrassed to keep on confessing one scripture. It's better for you to keep on confessing one scripture than to read chunks and chunks of the word and doesn't do anything for you in the end. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 13 to 14. And whatsoever Anthony Nicholas shall ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See, I'm beginning to make it personal now. I'm beginning to insert my name and the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to this. And whatsoever Anthony Nicholas shall ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that will Jesus Christ do, that the Father may be glorified in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Father. Keep on saying it, folks. Keep on saying it. Keep on saying the word. Keep on reflecting the word. Keep on meditating the word. Keep on mastering the word. Because it's Jesus Himself speaking the word directly to you, folks. Hallelujah. He died for you. He died for me. He paid the complete price. Love meant complete for Him. There was no half measure when He died for us on the cross. It was complete. Complete love, Father. Oh, what love, Jesus. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 13 to 14. Keep on saying it, folks. And whatsoever you shall ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whatsoever, Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that will Jesus Christ do. That the Father, the Heavenly Father, Abba, Daddy, hallelujah, El Shaddai, glory be to you, my God, hallelujah, will be glorified in the Son. If we shall not anything enter in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ will do it for you. Thank you, Father. John 15, verse 7. See, what I'm doing, folks, I'm building up my faith now. I'm getting my faith excited. Hallelujah. Get your faith excited, folks. And once your faith gets excited, then you get a delight to pray. Then you find prayer exciting. You find prayer exhilarating. Hallelujah. Glory be to you, Jesus. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, enter. If I abide in Jesus Christ, and the word of Jesus Christ abide in you. John 15, verse 7. And if the word of Jesus Christ abides in Anthony Nicholas, the words, the life, the pneuma abides in Jesus Christ, abides in Anthony. Anthony Nicholas shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto me. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 7. If I abide in Jesus Christ, if I continually abide in Jesus Christ, and the word of Jesus Christ abides within me, the word of Jesus Christ abides within me, the word of Jesus Christ abides within me, I shall ask what I will. I shall ask what I will. As long as Jesus abides in me, and the word of Jesus Christ abides in me, I shall ask what I will, and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done unto me. It shall be done unto me. Listen to John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, Anton, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Hallelujah. That I should go and bring forth fruit, and that my fruit should remain. That whatsoever I shall ask of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. What a precious name, Father. What a precious name. What a powerful name, my God. What a blessed name, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every knee shall bow. At that name, Father. At that name, my God. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He will give it to me. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, Jesus says, and ordained you. Hallelujah, for ordaining me, Father. Thank you for appointing me. Thank you for anointing me, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that I should go and bring forth fruit, and that my fruit should remain. That whatsoever I shall ask of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, He will give it to me. Thank you, Jesus. John 16, verses 22 to 26. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Thank you, Jesus. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, Anton, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hitherto, verse 24, John 16, verse 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. In the name of Jesus, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh, Anton, when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. In my name, what name, Father? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I say unto you, I pray the Father for you. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 14, verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. I was reflecting on the mother of Jesus. Remember, folks, at the wedding feast of Cana, the mother turned around and told the servant, whatsoever Jesus says, do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. John 8, verse 47, whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. Yes, I do, Father. I'm listening, Father. I'm listening and partaking. Hallelujah, Father. And I shall remain obedient, Father. And I shall be obedient, my God. I thank you, Father God, like Psalm 1 and Joshua 1, Father God. I shall meditate, Father, on the day, on the word, day and night, Father. I shall partake of it. I shall eat of your word, my God, and directly insert it and impregnate it and impress it, Father, into my spirit, Father God. I shall never let anything, absolutely nothing, distract me, Father, for spending time with you, my God, and getting to know your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. And I thank you for the promise, my God. And you know, my Father, all your promises are yes and amen, Father. And you see this, my God. You see that, Father, in John 15, verse 7. If you abide, if Anthony Nicholas abides in Jesus Christ, and the words of Jesus Christ abides in Anthony Nicholas, I shall ask whatever, Father, and it shall be done unto you, my God. Thank you. The more I spend with you, Father, the more I listen to your word, the more I reflect on your word, the presence of God shall grow and grow and grow and grow on me. And the anointing of God shall glow and glow and glow and glow on me, Father. I thank you for that promise, Jesus. Thank you for that promise. Hallelujah. Listen to this, folks. Get the scriptures. Get more of the word in. Hallelujah. Listen to Matthew 9, verse 2. Something about faith excites the Son of God. He just gets delighted when he sees people of faith moving in the realm of faith. Hallelujah. Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to Jesus a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Listen to this. I want to emphasize this line, folks. Matthew 9, verse 2. And Jesus, seeing their faith. That's that faith can be seen, folks. You know, and I know, when you go into a church atmosphere, or when you go into a conference where faith is generated, you can see when a man and woman of God come and speak general anointing, that the substance called faith can be seen, it can be felt. And that's what Jesus means here. He says, when seeing their faith, he was moved. And that's why, folks, I encourage you, I exhort you, I urge you to build up your faith through the word of God. And when you walk in the street, or wherever you are, or whenever you're in a church setting, or in a meeting, people can see that you're a man and a woman of faith. They are not blind. You can't fool them. They can see faith oozing around you. And that's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, didn't he? To stir up the Holy Ghost within you, stir up the gifts within you. Whatsoever you do, folks, whatsoever you do, build up the gifts within you. You will never, never, never regret it. Especially in a time of crisis, especially dangers around you. Hallelujah. I remember, folks, the subject of my talk, let me just remind you again, how to excite your prayer time, how to find your time with Jesus. Really exciting, folks, that you just don't feel like giving up. You just want to pray and pray and pray and pray. Hallelujah. So the other thing I do to extend my prayer time, folks, is to spend time speaking out prophetic utterances. What I mean by that is, you know, the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 1 and the first verse, that God is still speaking to his people today. Let me just find this chapter for you in the verse. It's Hebrews 1. Listen to this, folks. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. God is still speaking to his people today, to the prophets and to his ministers and unto his maidservants and manservants. It says in Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants the prophets. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants the prophets. So what I do is, I read various prophecies that various men and women utter during the course of the year. And there are some prophecies that just speak out and just minister to my spirit. So I take this prophecy out and I write it on my notebook. So while I'm having my prayer time, I utter this prophecy aloud to minister directly into my spirit. Let me give you an example. Like, for example, this prophecy which I have written down. For this is the hour of the Lord, and this is the hour that you shall see people that you have never thought of, people that you have never considered rise into heights in God. They shall suddenly rise up out of unknown places, and they shall go as flaming evangelists from shore to shore and sea to sea. And God's anointing shall be so strong upon them that when they touch the city, many shall fall because of the power of enormous conviction upon their lives. And surely there shall come a great fiery move of God on the face of the earth. For the members of the body of Christ shall rise, like an army they shall rise, with a sword and a spirit in their lips, with a song of the Lord in their hearts, and with fearless boldness in God shall they walk abroad upon the face of the earth. And they shall witness unto the King of kings and Lord of lords, and the world shall say, who are these people? They are the people of the living God, the kingdom of the Most High, the holy nation, kings and priests unto him. The reason why I keep on proclaiming this prophecy aloud is, see, there's something in my spirit. I say to myself, yes, God is speaking, and God is saying, raising up an army, and God is saying, raising up his people. And I want to be, folks, I want to be in the end time army. And to be in the end time army, I've got to keep listening to what God is speaking to his prophets and to his servants, and partake and hearken and diligently listen to what the Spirit of God is saying in these last days, folks. So it excites my prayer time when I see God speaking in reality and in truth. And what he speaks in reality and truth, because the test of a true prophet is what he says shall come to pass. And the other thing about true prophecy is, it's not with one man or one woman saying it, but God is using his people all over the world, and they are echoing and saying the similar thing, folks. Hallelujah. So I strongly suggest, write it down in your prayer book, and speak out loudly a few prophecies that minister and witness to your spirit in Jesus' name. So the other thing I keep on mentioning is, write, jot down your prayer request, jot down the prophecy, jot down the scriptures. So when you keep on requesting before the throne room every day your prayer request, and then you see your prayer being answered, take out a pen or a pencil and strike it up and say, prayer answered on the following day. It does something to you, it does something to your being to see prayer being answered, folks. It encourages you to keep on praying. See, and then becomes a testimony that you prayed, and because you prayed, and because you implored, and because you interceded before the throne room, and the Holy Ghost is within you, echo the prayer that's coming out of your mouth, and the Heavenly Father, the Father who delights in answering prayer, he really delights in answering the prayer of his children. Says, go on, implore me, and answer your prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, folks, the principle that you reap what you sow, it applies in this instance too. Like, for example, I'm telling you and emphasizing that the theme of my talk today is how to encourage and inspire, how to be inspired in prayer. Now, when you stand before the presence of God and you see God through the Holy Ghost answering your prayer, don't be taken aback or don't be too surprised if he finds extraordinary ways. Now, what we call the supernatural must become the natural. They find other ways to inspire you and to encourage you. Let me just give you an example. One particular Sunday, we attended a talk given by Jean Donnell, and she spoke a very profound talk on the subject of waiting on God and praying and seeking the face of God. After she presented the talk, she was waiting on the Lord, and suddenly she just pointed to me. He said, gentleman over there, directly pointing hands towards me, and said, I've got a word for you, she said. And she opened her mouth and she said something in similar fashion to this. You are weary with well doing, you are tired, but God is going to refresh you even today. You have been ministering to a group of people. All that you have sown will not fall to the ground. God will bring other people in their lives, and they will reap where you have sown. You feel you have given so much, but feel you haven't received back. God will refresh you even today. Every word that came out of your mouth will not fall empty. And then she asked me to come forward. She laid hands on me and she said, the best is yet to come. You know, folks, I needed something like that. We all need each other to exalt and edify and encourage one another. So how thrilled I was to the Holy Ghost to use Jean Donnell to give me this word. As some of you will know, I was leading a prayer meeting every Tuesday in a church in South London. And when Jean gave the word, one got the impression she knew all that took place Yet she did not know, folks. The Holy Ghost so inspired her to give me this word that it so refreshed my spirit. And when she said, the best is yet to come, it put some new fire in my being to move on and to grow from glory to glory to glory and say, here I am, Father, use me for the next step. When I came back home for the next 1 week or so, how the words of Jean Janner, inspired by the Holy Ghost, so bless me, folks, so bless me, so bless me. And I want to assure you, and I want to reassure you, the same thing will happen to you. When you find prayer denied, and when you start encouraging yourself in the Lord, like 1 Samuel 30, when King David encouraged himself in the Lord in the circumstances of distress and anxiety, the Lord did encourage him. The Lord will encourage you too. So, cheer up. Please believe me, supernatural things will happen to you. They'll become normal, and various people will come to your side whom God will use to give you the anointed word at the appointed time. Thank you, Jesus. And regarding this word you gave me, entering your weary with well-doing, 2 weeks later we attended another meeting led by John Wimber and the team. And then John Wimber, after finishing his talk, he said, let's just wait on the Lord. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, he said, right at the back where me and a friend of mine were sitting, he said he saw a big banner. And on the banner it's written, you are weary in well-doing. That's all he said. You remember saying, you see the big banner, and that's where exactly a friend of mine and me were sitting. And he said, on the banner, the words were written, you are weary in well-doing. And it's the same thing Jean Danner said, you are weary in well-doing. I came back home and asked the Holy Ghost, Father, what are you really saying? And then I remembered the scripture where it says, you are weary in well-doing, but you shall reap and faint not. I remember the scripture, folks. You are weary in well-doing, but you shall reap and faint not. Say, okay, Father, I've got the message. So you see, what am I trying to say to you is that God is real. He'll meet you at the point of your need. He will not fail you, folks. We serve a God who will not fail you. The other thing I do to encourage my praying and to inspire me to pray and to radiate the joy when I pray is I read books of various other anointed writers. For example, John G. Lake, always a dynamic writer. You read John G. Lake books and you don't feel like putting them down. Oh, the man's ministry in a town called Spokane in Washington has been recorded. He laid hands and 100,000 people were healed. Recorded miracles. Thank you, Jesus. And you read his books and there's something to your spirit. So I would suggest that when you feel you want to relax, get books from John G. Lake and so many other speakers, folks. I'm reading a book by John Wimber, The Dynamics of Spiritual Warfare. That's a good book to read too. But he asked the Holy Ghost, asked the Spirit of the Living God to motivate you to speak to the minister exactly which books he ought to read. But I strongly suggest John G. Lake. He'll inspire you to pray. A man of faith and a man of vision. And that's what we need, folks. We need to be moving on people who speak the word, the vision, the prophetic word, who will just inspire you to greater heights. Men like Maurice Serlo, and you hear a man speaking, and you say, Father, I just want to receive and partake of the man's anointing. Move around, mingle around, attend speakers who will just inspire you. Don't just sit at home, folks. Get tapes of various people to encourage you and to build you up. You'll be very, very surprised when you find prayer time exciting, how the world assigned to you. Let me just give you an example. When I decided to get very, very close to God and spend a lot of time praying and waiting before the Lord and reading books and listening to tapes and watching Christian videos and attending various men of God, anointed speakers, and a man of God, a woman of God, whom I know has got a special anointing high in London, I make it a point to go and hear them talk. One day I came across this man who happened to be staying just opposite us, and decided to talk to him about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. First few minutes having a very heavy discussion which was bordering on the point of an argument, but I refrained from getting into unnecessary argument. What do you need to do at moments like that is to ask the Holy Ghost to give the right words that will pierce and penetrate and convict the very being. The Lord gave me the right words to tell him, folks. He got so convicted and a beautiful smile came across his face. Months later, I met the same man again. So I said, how are you keeping? He said, when I come out of my house, he says, this is what the man is telling me, the man I met months ago. He said, when he comes out of his house, he's looking out for me. He said, why is that? He said, because every time I see you, you immediately remind me of God. What he's really saying, what he's actually saying, folks, whenever he sees me, he's convicted of his sin. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants our very presence to radiate the very essence of Jesus. That wherever we go, the people will say, hey, that's a man of God, and that's a woman of God. We don't need to utter a word or say anything. Our very being, folks, will bring conviction upon people. I know about this particular man that wherever he sees me, he can't help but think about his sin and think about Jesus. And whenever he sees me, something draws him to get to know God, to get to know Jesus. I remember when I was working in the Inland Revenue. See, I got a problem. The problem is, folks, I can't help it but talk about Jesus. All the various interviews I went for, some way or other, the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned. Remember, while working in the Inland Revenue, all my fellow employees who were working with me, within a few weeks, all came to know that I'm a Christian. One particular guy gave me a challenge. He said, Anton, it's okay for you to talk to me and all the other guys here about Jesus. How about going speaking to the big boss, the main one, about our Lord Jesus Christ? Something happens, folks, when you get close to God. You get a boldness and an authority that comes directly from the throne room. And I told his man, John. I said, John, I'll pick up the challenge at the appointed time. I will speak to the district inspector. And if you knew the district inspector, he was a fellow man whom you won't dare touch the subject. Because I came to know through the other sources that he wasn't really interested in God. But the Holy Ghost has got ways of raising up an opportunity where you got no choice, folks, than to speak about God. One particular day, the inspector called me into his office to find out how my work is going. And the way he spoke to me, one immediately got the impression that he felt you were somewhere up there and I was down below the scale. He had his legs up on top of the table and began to question me. I answered him as best as I could. And then I said, this is my moment to strike. I said, oh yes sir, I've got something to say to you. I won't be here for the next 5 weeks. He said, what do you mean you'll be here for the next 5 weeks? Oh, I'm going on a holiday, sir, I said. I'm leaving London and I'm off to Vancouver. And then from Vancouver, I'm flying to Fort Worth, Texas, back to Vancouver. And from Vancouver, I'm flying with my wife and my son to Toronto. And from Toronto, Canada, I'm flying back to London. The guy looked amazed. His legs that were on the table slowly came down. He sat upright. There was a direct eye-to-eye contact, and he asked me directly, "Where do you get your money to go to all these places? I'm a district inspector earning a good amount, and I can't afford to go to all these places." And I said, "If you're interested, I'll tell you so." And I spoke to him about the God I serve. I spoke to him about sowing and reaping. I spoke to him about tithes and offerings. What you sow, you reap. I spoke to him what I do with my money. I spoke to him where I send the money to. I spoke to him about the ministries I support, and about the homeless people, and about those in famine in Ethiopia and Sudan. I spoke about the values of life. And the man got suddenly very interested in me, folks. He smiled and he said goodbye to me. When I left his office, I knew the Lord Jesus Christ in me impacted the man's spirit. You go to folks, wherever you go, you got to impact Jesus. But remember our son Paul, when he was in the school, and one particular week we had to ring up the headmistress to explain to her that we were Christians, we're not very excited about our son celebrating Halloween on October the 31st. My wife said, I spoke to her about Jesus and explained to her where we were coming from. But the amazing thing was, when we were building up and edifying Paul to become a dynamic man of God, we spent our time on him, praying and laying hands on him and stirring up the Holy Ghost on him, that God had made him a brilliant boy, that he did so well in school that he got a promotion. The headmistress told Taylor, "I know where you're coming from. You're a dynamic Christian. But you understand that our school don't think in similar fashion to your views." So Taylor said, "We fully understand, but if it helps you, we will withdraw Paul on Halloween Day." She turned round and she told Taylor, "Oh no, don't do that. We have decided not to celebrate Halloween." The fact of the matter is, she told Taylor, "You know we are a Christian school, and if you want to withdraw Paul, you can withdraw Paul, but we prefer you not to." And Taylor asked, "What do you mean?" She says, "Because Paul is a brilliant boy, we want to keep him in school." You see, folks, because a lot of time praying and putting the word of God into our 6-year-old son, what's coming out of him is brilliance. That because he's excelling in school, the headmistress did not want us to take Paul out of school. She actually favored us by making sure they were not celebrating Halloween in that particular school. You see, it's just one child making an impact. How much so if we all can get our act together, folks? If 12 apostles and 12 disciples and a few hundred other disciples can change the world, how much more if we get so close to God that you and I can impact and transform and change the world? The headmistress where Paul is standing will never, never, never forget Paul. Will never forget Paul. Oh, I can tell you countless stories how the boldness and authority that was oozing out of me because I found prayer time exciting, folks. And I want to share and encourage with you to inspire you to make sure your prayer time gets exciting too. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I like what Oral Roberts said when the Lord appeared to him and said, "Study Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and ask the apostles on your knees, and within 30 days I'll give you a revelation of the Son Jesus." And that's what we need, folks. We want to we want to get a revelation of the man called Jesus. If we get a revelation of the man called Jesus, our lives will transform, our lives will change. That wherever we go, in whatever circumstance we are in, whether it's in the street or at home, or anybody comes to visit us, our neighborhood will all be affected by our very presence. Because wherever we go, they can't help but see Jesus in us, folks. They can't help but see Jesus. They can't help it. Because it's oozing, it's overflowing from our very being. So I will encourage you. Good things are waiting for us. Listen to the man Jesus, and he'll inspire you and encourage you. And he'll be a man of boldness and a man of authority. Remember the scripture, Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence shall take it by force. And that's what we need, folks. We need to have a violent spirit coming out of us. There absolutely nothing is going to bring fear or tremble or shake us. Because we know what's going to take place in the world. And that's why we are ready, because we are prepared. We are preparing for the end times. We are preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. So get into it, folks. Study the man, get to know the man Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts of the Apostles. And what he's doing in my life, he'll do it in your life too. Because he's got no favorites. Whatever trials and tribulations you're going through, get as close as possible to Jesus. And once you touch him, life will never be the same again. You've gone the last 4 or 5 years to various parts of the world. I remember one year in 1985 we went to Malaysia, East Malaysia. Some friends of ours knowing that we were there organized a meeting together. And in the midst of the number of people who were there, there was the deputy minister of finance of the particular state. He came up to me to speak about Jesus. And I gave him a short talk. At the end of my talk, he turned on and made a statement to me. He said, "Anton, when you speak about Jesus Christ, you give me the impression that Jesus Christ is very, very powerful." I said, "Yes, he is. There's no other name greater than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name more powerful than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name that demons tremble and fear other than the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He said, "I've been brought up," he said, "with fearful, because as you know, in our state, we got this witch doctor putting spells and curses." He belonged to a party that for the first time in Malaysia, in a particular state, the Christians monopolized the state, and the Christians ran the state cabinet. And the non-Christians were not too impressed by this. So he called all his witch doctors to cast spells and curses on the various members of the cabinet. I told them, I said to him, "Do not be afraid, sir. Once you come to know Jesus Christ, the fear of God will come on them." And I continued to share the gospel, and I could see his spirit was being stirred. I could see the reflection and the rays of Jesus oozing out of his eyes. For the very first time, he got a revelation that Jesus Christ is still very powerful. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Until today, the Christian cabinet still runs the particular state. Oh, what a joy, folks. Once you come to know the man Jesus. And that's why I say, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Once you find the man Jesus exciting, you'll pursue and never give up. You know, folks, I spoke to you earlier about the various words many men and women of God are receiving, and this particular word that we are living in the last days, and God is raising an end time army, and how much I want to be so involved in this end time army that God Himself, the Father Himself, is raising up. I remember what Derek Prince said very, very recently, and he said something similar to this, that God has revealed Himself as the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Shabbat. He's seeking men and women who will commit themselves as soldiers in His end time army. Such service is not for the timid, the lazy, or the selfish. But God promises to equip and train those who meet the conditions. I was sharing with Seda that when I got this calling to go on and do the work for God, how he made sure that I'm fully equipped by sending me to various sources, books and videos and tapes. And he got tapes now that will take us about 2 years to listen to, folks. But the Father made sure that he sent me the necessary equipment that will prepare me for the ministry to do the work of God. The same thing the Father will do to you too, folks. He will equip you and train you and send you the right man, the right women to minister alongside with you and to encourage you and to inspire you. And he'll send the right tapes and the right books to inspire you too. So you and I will have no excuse whatsoever. We'll be fully equipped and fully trained by the Holy Ghost himself. What a teacher. What a teacher, Spirit of the Living God. What a teacher. I love you, Father. I love you. The Spirit of the Living God himself will teach you and equip you for the ministry. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the other scriptures that just come into my spirit right now, folks, which I just encourage myself every morning. Scripture, one particular scripture is in Proverbs 18, verse 16. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. What a verse. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And that's why I'm encouraging you to work on the gift the Father himself has bestowed upon you. Work on this gift, folks. Work on this gift. 2 Timothy 1:6. That is why I will remind you, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, to stir up. And the Holy Ghost will be telling you and telling me right now to stir up. Rekindle the embers, fan the flames, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire. Listen to that word again. The gracious gift of God, the inner fire. Work on that, folks. Work on it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Hearken to that word again. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Thank you, Jesus. It was David Wilkerson who once asked the Spirit of the Living God, what has he got to do to get more power into his inner being? You know, David Wilkerson works among the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the marginalized in society. And he was pleading before the throne room. What else has he got to do to get the power so he can set the oppressed and the downtrodden free? And the Spirit of God ministered a word to him. He said, my son, the message has not changed, but it must be a message of the heart and the life and not of words only. My people must set the examples of lives consecrated to me. This generation looks for the living testimony of what I can do in one individual life. David, lead my life, then you shall witness with authority and the message to win souls. David, lead my life, then you shall witness with the authority and the message to win souls. And that's what we got to do, folks. We got to lead the life of Jesus. What Jesus did, we will do. Yes, we will, Father. Whatever Jesus did, we will do, Father. Glory be to you, my God. We will encourage our spirits, Father. Thank you for the gift you have bestowed upon us, Father. Thank you, Father. We'll work on that gift, Father. We will work on that gift, my God. We will work on that gift, Father. We will work on that gift, Father. And every morning, folks, every morning, send the scripture, which I keep on saying 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Listen to this. For this reason we also from the day, Colossians 1 verse 9 to 14, we heard of, have not ceased to pray and make special requests, and I insert my name for Anthony Nicholas, that I may be filled with a full, deep and clear knowledge of His Heavenly Father's will, in all spiritual wisdom, that is, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and understanding and discerning of spiritual things. That Andrew Nicholas, oh yes, Father, may walk, live, and conduct myself in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and desiring to please my Heavenly Father in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in, and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, yes, Father, deeper, yes, Father, and clearer insight, oh yes, Father, acquaintance and recognition. I pray that Anthony Nicholas may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, I give thanks to the Father who has qualified and made me fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. I pray, Father, has delivered and drawn me to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred me into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom enter Nicholas as his redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, which means the forgiveness of my sins. Oh, I was blessed with a man who's got a dynamic ministry. He said when he first came into ministry, he used to confess one or two particular scriptures more than 1,000 times, till he saw the manifestation of the scripture coming and materializing in his life. And that's what we got to do, Father. That's what we got to do, folks. We got to keep on confessing and confessing and confessing till we see the very word manifesting within our very being. We know that what God said has come to pass in our very lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.